Welcome to another motivational interview. I'm Wayne Kelly. You've got to respect a man who came to the United States as a teenager with no knowledge of English, no contacts, and only $50 in his pocket, yet ended up a mega success story. I'm talking about Nito Cubain. Nito transformed from penniless immigrant to successful entrepreneur to being inducted into the National Speakers Hall of Fame. He doesn't just talk about business, he lives it. He's an entrepreneur with active interests in real estate, advertising, and banking. This interview is an inspiration, and it's a great honor for me to introduce you to Nito Cubain.
Well, I've been very, very blessed, of course. I came to North America with $50 in my pocket, no knowledge of the English language, and no connections. And I followed the advice of my mother, who used to say to me, if you're going to be a great man, you must first walk hand in hand and side by side with great people. Who you spend time with is precisely who you become. And she would say, you know, it's never the circumstances in which you find yourself, it's always the choices that you make. It's in fact your choices that determine your future. And so recognizing that all meaningful change comes from within each of us, I just, went to work through college and undergrad and grad, and then began my first business.
It seems that you've been driven for a long time.
Well, you know, I mean, there are two pains we're going to suffer from in life. One is the pain of discipline. One is the pain of regret. I guess you'd put me in the disciplined column. I understand that life doesn't give us what we need. Life really gives us what we deserve. So if we want to get more, we have to deserve more. That means we have to learn more and we have to grow, and we obviously have to render more value to each person and in each relationship that we encounter.
So how do you go about doing that? Because a lot of people feel they're victims.
Well, that's too bad. None of us should feel that way. You know, I believe that each of us has a great destiny lying ahead of us, and just what we do with it is totally dependent on our beliefs. You know, our beliefs lead to our behaviors, and our behaviors lead to our results. So if we want to get better results in life, if we don't like where we are or what we have, or who we are for that matter, then we need to sort of determine the behaviors that got us here. What are the things that we're doing that are causing this? And then we need to realign our mindset, our beliefs. I mean, I believe immigrants do so much better than so many people who are born in freedom and with a lot of opportunities. They do better because they believe that in North America you can do better. They do better because they don't lose any time or waste any time wondering about recession, unemployment, political matters, or anything like that. They, in fact, lose themselves from morning to night in purposeful activities, making something good come to be. You know, it's all about our purpose in life. Some people just sort of focus on their tasks, and they just do tasks all day, transactional people, if you will. Some people focus on goals, but ultimately the happiest are those who focus on their purpose in life. Call them transformational, if you will. And when you sort of lose yourself in something worthwhile, you know, you become passionate about it, and those things that you're passionate about, you really tend to do so much better.
Is there a fear that keeps a lot of us from achieving great things?
Oh, there are many, many fears that keep us from achieving great things. It all begins with our self-esteem. You know, our self-esteem is the principal way. It is the fundamental way. It is the cornerstone of our positioning ourselves, that is. So, you know, self-esteem is a big one, and sometimes if you've had poor self-esteem or low self-esteem, it does show up in one's achievements or lack thereof. But I think beyond that, we may be afraid of failure, we may be afraid of embarrassment, we may be afraid of the unknown, you know, all of those things. Mm-hmm. But we have to rise above our fears. We have to focus on our dreams, not on our fears. And I believe the moment we begin to interpret the value of our dreams and the greatness of those dreams, then we're sort of willing to risk. You know, if you take risk out of life, you take opportunity out of life. So the issue is not risk avoidance. The issue is risk management. We all have fears. And the issue lies in you and I and others learning how to manage our risk so that our fears don't paralyze us and therefore keep us from attaining our goals.
Mm. So success isn't a goal, is it?
Well, success is no, because success is a very general thing. Success is kind of the destination, you know. But the goals really are more the posts along the journey. Success is kind of a state in which we like to be and like to, the way we like to feel. But our goals have to be more specific than that. We have to put them in writing. We have to make sure that they're measurable, that they have datelines, and then so that we can know when we do achieve them and when we don't achieve them.
Now, at your level of success, do you still work hard on achieving more?
Well, I mean, I have four companies, as you know, and one of them, of course, is a large chain of bakeries. We have 210 in 39 states across the United States, and I have an advertising public relations agency and a publishing company and a consulting company, and I'm involved in many other endeavors. So by definition of what I do, I am busy, and consequently, when you are invested in a number of ways, you have to grow, you have to move forward, you have to set goals, you have to achieve more. Otherwise, you don't do justice to the endeavors that you're involved in. So yeah, I work hard at doing that, and I don't do it because merely of success. I do it because of significance.
What's the difference?
Oh, there's a huge difference. Success is secular. Significance is spiritual. It doesn't matter how you define your spirituality. I believe you'll agree with me that matters spiritual are always better, finer, deeper, more meaningful than merely matters secular. Success talks about, for example, giving back. This institution has been good to me, this city has been good to me, this association has been good to me, this alma mater has been good to me, so I must give back. God is not too pleased with people who give back. A significance focuses merely on giving. Just giving, period, paragraph, turn the page. Giving is like loving. It's sort of like you love your kids even when your kids are unlovable. So giving is like loving. William Barclay, the Scottish theologian, once said something absolutely smashingly beautiful. He said, "Always give without remembering, always receive without forgetting." And so giving is just about sharing thyself with everyone. It doesn't just talk about money. It talks about being a good steward of the talents and the skills and the resources and the, think of the four capitals that you have. You have financial capital in your life. You have educational capital. You have reputational capital. And you have relational capital. And so giving meaning sharing in all of those areas. For example, success talks about achieving, fans, fame, fortune. If you're an achieving person, you sort of have success. Significance talks about appreciating. The three F's of appreciating are your faith, your family, and your friends. And if you have those three, you really have the tiger by the tail.
When I saw you live, you were talking about your children and how you raised them to not be average. And you talked about it when they came home from school with their report cards.
Right.
I found that very fascinating. I've tried to explain it. Can I get that in your words?
Well, sure. Basically, I don't give my kids or haven't given my kids pocket money just for the sake of giving them pocket money. They had to earn it based on results. Remember that, results define who we are. Just giving lip service about what you're going to do is never as good as those things that you actually deliver on. So it works something like this. When my senior and high school daughter makes an A in a class at the end of a semester, an A in a subject at the end of a semester, I give her $100. Now, when she makes a B, she gets $75 because a B is not as good as an A. If she gets a C, I give her nothing because C is average and we ought not reward average. We ought never reinforce behaviors we don't want to get more of. If she gets a D, she gives me $50. That's called the value of fairness and justice. What's good for her must be good for Dad. And if she gets an F, she moves into your house. So you get the idea. She makes straight A's, and I don't ever have to tell her to go out there and do her homework because she's motivated from the inside out to make it happen.
Oh, so that's the difference right there. You just mentioned it, inside-out motivation.
Absolutely. That's why I said all meaningful change comes from within. We control, who we are and what we want to do. Motivation is nothing more than desire camouflaged with hard work and with passion. And with energy, and then you sort of go out there and make it happen, and eventually momentum takes over. Mm-hmm. Nothing succeeds like success, we like to say. The difference between failures and successful people is but one word. Failures say, "Can I do it?" They doubt the very fact that they could do it. Successful people say, "How can I do it?" is the, therefore the essence is in the word how. They may not know how to do it, but they'll go out there and read the right books and listen to the right cassettes and attend the right seminars and listen to the right radio programs, and they eventually know the how. And so, you know, step by step, good things come to be. As someone said, inch by inch, life is a cinch. I like to say, do away with that idiom in English language which says slowly but surely, and replace it with this one, slowly and cumulatively. It is the cumulative effect of doing one little thing every day that adds up eventually to something bigger and better.
I love it. One more final thing. You mentioned garbage in, garbage not out. We have to be very
careful.
No, garbage
in, garbage stays. And so if you let garbage enter your mind in the first place, you get yourself in trouble. That's why hanging around the right people or reading the right books or, you know, inserting in your brain the right information is remarkably important.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.